Okay, so I'm going to have a couple friends. I was selective. I chose my friends to read the passages for tonight. But before they do, Patrick's going to read this passage from Jeremiah. And I want to give some background about what's happening. So in this passage, Israel is living in, or the nation of Israel, not a person. The people of Israel are living in Jerusalem. And if you remember from like VeggieTales, this is like the promised land. Okay, so they're like in their place, they're in their city. But what's happening is that the nation of Israel is listening to what the prophet Jeremiah calls like false gods. And I think in this time, and you div school people can correct me if I'm wrong, but false gods or false prophets are just kind of like commonplace wisdom where you're not sure where the truth is, but lies in that. You know, and so I think if we think about false prophets in that way, you can kind of conceptualize like how often we hear that just like in the messages, like on the radio and this like common cultural messages. And so because they're listening to this and instead of God, the city of Jerusalem gets taken over by King Nebuchadnezzar. Again, remember your Veggie Tales. And he's a Babylonian. And so they get exiled to Babylon. And the nation of Israel doesn't know this yet, but they'll be there for 70 years. So I'm going to have Patrick read this passage. Do you have the paper?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Can I stand?
You may stand.
Yes. Okay. I'm going to sit. This comes from the 29th chapter. It's verses 1 through 8. These are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem to the... okay. Typographical error.
I copied and pasted, so...
Okay. To the surviving... To the surviving elders of the exiles, and to the priests, the prophets, and to all people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. This is after King Jeconiah and the queen mother, the eunuchs, the officials of Judah and Jerusalem, the craftsmen and the metal workers had departed from Jerusalem. The letter was sent by the hand of Elisha, the son of Shaphan, and Gemariah and the son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, the king of Judah, sent to Babylon, to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. It said, quote, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses, live in them, plant gardens, eat their produce, take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease, but seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile. And pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare."
So this is the non-biblical reading from Rilke's book, Letters to a Young Poet. "I beg you to have patience with everything unresolved in your heart and to try to love the questions themselves, as if they were locked rooms or books written in a very foreign language. Do not search for the answers, which could not be given to you now, because you would not be able to live them. And the point is to live everything. Live the questions now. Perhaps then, someday far into the future, you will gradually, without even noticing it, live your way into the answer."
Thank you, friends. So to recap what's happening in Jeremiah, the people of Israel have been sent into exile. And the advice that God, through the prophet Jeremiah, gives them is build houses. Plant gardens, like get married, like build relationships, have kids, and like marry off your children. Essentially, what God is saying is invest here. And I think what's happening is that God's giving this advice because the people of Israel aren't doing that. They're not investing. They're in exile. They were in their place, and they're in this new city. And so they're like, oh, we're going to go back. We're going to go back to our city, our promised land. And so they're just like, oh, this is temporary. Let's have tents. Or wherever, div school people, with the historical context, you probably know better. And I chose this passage because I so identify with the people of Israel. Because I have lived in 10 apartments since I turned 18. And like, I'm 23, so that's like two apartments a year. And I'm about to move again. I'm about to move twice this summer. And so this feeling of like impermanence or exile is just really salient for me. I got, you know, because you're in college and so your furniture is in your own. And so you get used to like having like crappy posters. And like, I'm not like an art person. I want to be, but I'm just not. So like, I don't have like, I don't have decorations. And I feel like this impermanence, more than our just like physical belongings, like really penetrates like this feeling of, oh, I'm not going to stay here. I'm not going to bother to fix my broken crown molding. Or does that break? But it crumbles, I guess. And I just remember this time last year, I was living in D.C. I knew I was going to move to Chicago. And it was just like a hard time, and like friends were kind of, like things were just kind of up in the air, but I knew I was leaving and work was just really hard. And I just remember like reading the Chicago news and listening to WBEZ and just like taking that in as like, okay, like I'm going to Chicago. And so like, I still built relationships though, because I had this passage in mind. I've known this passage for a long time. And so like, when I started doing that, when I started living in Chicago, I like self-corrected and I was like, okay, I'm in DC for the summer. I'm gonna build relationships. I'm gonna like plant a garden, or I didn't, but you know, take it metaphorically. And so I did, and I have these great friends from last summer, and I like fell in love, or like realized I was in love all along. At least some semblance of love was realized. And so when I left DC to move to Chicago in like August, I was just crushed. I had really loved that city and that place and those people, and it was hard, but like I knew this passage, you know? So I was like, okay, I'm a great rule follower. Like, give me directions, I'm gonna do it. So I moved to Chicago in mid-September, and I couldn't like build a house because I live in an apartment, but I like bought some like really expensive heavy furniture that some of you guys are gonna help me move twice this summer. And so just gonna throw that on you. And so I couldn't build a house, but I bought furniture and I framed posters, like a big adulthood move. And I wasn't about to like plant a garden, but like I figured that's like investing in things and growing them up. So I like joined improv classes and got really into that. And I wasn't about to get married, because again, like pretty young, and not, whatever, do your thing, but like, sorry, I'm not gonna make a evaluative statement about getting married young, and, but I like went on dates and stuff, so I like did that, and I threw myself into Chicago, what happened after a while is that it just is hard, like, building a house, like, literally, it's just a really hard thing to do. Like, no wonder the people of Israel weren't building their houses right away. If they thought they were gonna leave, like, why do that? And like getting married, those of you who are married, very hard thing to do. Those of you who were like dating me, like, oh, I don't know. Like, yeah, getting married is hard. And like building that, like building relationships, that's a, like, I was so sick of explaining myself to people. I feel like I'm a really particular brand of person, and like having to explain why I am the way I am to everyone that I meet. Like, I just say that I'm Leslie Knope from Parks and Rec, and that does the trick, but sometimes that falls short. And it was just hard. And so the newness wore off, and it was winter, and this winter, guys, you know. And so I found myself this winter doing what I had done back in DC for Chicago. I started like tuning into the DC news. And I work in policy, like a lot of you know that. So going to DC would be a really natural next step for me after grad school. And so I was like, I started to plan. I started to orient myself differently to Chicago. I thought, well, maybe Chicago is my Babylon. Like, maybe Chicago is my exile. Maybe I really belong back in DC. And all of this was culminating. And again, I was reading like the DC news, and not even just the political news that I like that I follow, but also like the city news. Because, you know, the city's changing, and I was like reading about bars and restaurants opening. I'd like follow my friends on Instagram, and like I just wanted to be there. And this all culminated in a trip to DC over spring break. And I went and I had all these like crazy, amazing interviews, like amazing job interviews. and or like informational, but could land me a job. And I saw my old friends, and I was walking in my neighborhood, and I saw all the townhouses, and I had seen some of my old friends, like people I just ran into on the street, because I knew them, and I'd lived there for a while, and I saw my old bar, my old coffee shop, Big Bear. But I was left with this feeling, and guys, like, I can't explain it, but I just was like, I can't come back. This is, I don't, like, I guess if I had to, like, I'll stay open, but, like, I'm not coming back to D.C. And so when I got on the plane to come, or when I got off the plane at O'Hare to come back, it was, there was like snow on the ground, and I was mad because I didn't want to be in Chicago. Chicago was too big, D.C. so walkable, and it was cold, and like the Blue Line had just crashed. Like, do you guys remember that? Oh, yeah. So I had to take a shuttle, and I was just angry. And so I got off the plane, and I went to this bathroom stall at O'Hare, and I peed and I cried. I just cried. And it was like a delaying. It was like this really, really sad moment. I was just like delaying leaving the airport because I no longer wanted to be in DC, but I also didn't want to be in Chicago. Like, and what a coping mechanism it was for me to be in Chicago when it was so hard and to think, oh, this is just preparing me for DC. Like, this is just preparing me for the next thing. So anything that's hard or like it's good that I have friends around, like that's fine, so I'm not like this loner, but like it's all preparing me for my real life. And so I just was in that bathroom thinking like, well, what am I doing here? Like, I literally, like, I do not know what to do when I get out of this airport. Like, I don't know why I'm here. And I think that's why I love this passage. Like, that's because I imagine the people of Israel felt that like, because remember, they're listening to all of these like false prophets, like all of this wisdom. And so like, regardless of the truth or the falsity of anything, like they're just confused. They're just trying to like do the best they can given what they're hearing. And like, they just don't know. And so like, of course they weren't building houses and they were coping their way through things. But what I love is that God, like, regardless, is still like, here, like, don't just cope your way through the days. Like, this is your life. Like, it's, this is where you are. Like, I want something bigger and better for you here and now. Like, seek the welfare of your city, for in its welfare, you will find your welfare. Like, I don't just want you to act like you're leaving. And I think there's, like, regardless of, like, our own place-based identity feelings, like, I think there's also the sort of, like, cosmic exile. Because if you agree with the fundamental, like, Christian notion that we here on this earth are separated from God, then you can, all, like, identify with this on, like, this grander scale of God saying to not only the people of Israel and not only, like, the Cali of Chicago, like, here, like, seek the welfare while you're here now. Like, don't just live for some place you're not yet. And so, like, I wish that I could say that, like, those couple months ago, a few weeks ago, really, that marked a turning point for me. And, in retrospect, it did, but it wasn't, like, this sudden epiphany. My faith doesn't work like that anymore. It used to. It really did, but it doesn't anymore. But I think what it was this gradual, like, opening of my eyes. Like, once I stopped orienting myself to Chicago like I was going to leave. And it's not like I wanted to be there. I still was like planning to go to Seattle. I was going to spend the summer at home. I was going to not be here, but like I really can't say what happened. And when I can't say what happened, I usually call that God. But who knows? You can like control for a lot of variables, right? Like spring and all those things. But it was a slow opening of my eyes to like the purple that has started blooming. Like, Chicago's full of purple, and like purple's my favorite color, and so of course I think those tulips are just for me, and like the purple trees are like Cali trees, and I've started not hating like how big Chicago is, and I love the lake, and like I begrudgingly love Chicago, like, so and I don't know how that happened, and again it hasn't been because I still don't totally know what I'm doing here. Makes perfect sense for me to leave here after graduation and go back to DC and work in this crazy policy or like apply for my PhD somewhere else. But it's been this like really kind of like radical but slow reorienting for me. And it wasn't even just in like building the house and planting the garden and making the relationships. It was the things that were already there when I didn't even realize. And that's been a slow opening to like these great friends that I have in this room right now that I just love and I'm just bursting at the seams. So that's my story. And that's all I have really. So for discussion, I just want you guys to talk about your feelings of exile, if you have them, or if you relate, or if you have questions, like, or like want to refute, or like have a different take on something that I said, like that's what this space is for. But I challenge you, and I know this is like a tricky challenge, I challenge you not to intellectualize this. Like, and I'm a social worker, so I'm gonna be like, just share your feelings, guys. Like, be vulnerable, because vulnerability begets vulnerability, right? So, like, that's what I want for you guys during this discussion time, is just to share your stories. And if you're not comfortable with that, like, that's fine. Like, intellectualize all you want. And like talk about how Jeremiah, how this passage and the Rilke passage, the Live the Questions Now passage, how those match. But my hope, my dream, best case scenario would be that you guys share your stories together.